Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Tuesday, July the 12th, 2022, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me. Now, we're going to do a program, a series of programs, however long it takes, three, four, five shows, whatever. I didn't put a list together, as everybody is dead, but we're going to honor whistleblowers. And different ones who have exposed, whether they were classified as a whistleblower or whether they wrote a book and some fantastic reporter really did his job or her do a job or whatever, or individual patriots in America who have died for this country. Most of these are dead. I know 50 people that are dead, folks. Been a whistleblower 38 years. Next month, it began for me. 38 years ago, next month. Unbelievable. But I've got Joe on here because he's got a memory like I have. I have a photographic memory to some things. Names are tough. Comes to numbers, I see them. But Joe, he's got a rounded out photographic memory. He's a few years older than I am, and it gives him a little more wisdom and knowledge as well. Now, he's come across the path of many, 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 many people that I've come across the path over the years. I did 150 some odd speeches in this country within 6 months. Put 180,000 miles on a brand new car. Ran around the country, and this was in 84, I think it was, 85, 84. I came across meet a lot of people. I met Joe after being anthraxed. I was down in Vegas at a church down there that I did a speech at. Bo Greitz also did a speech that day. But other things happened. Breakfast Club in Phoenix. I've met several of the people. I've done speeches down there. Good group of different patriots in different states. I'm telling you that. But over the years, I've come across all these different people. And so is Joe. And they're whistleblowers, and they're all dead. So with that said, I want to start off with one whistleblower because a friend of mine had asked me to give honor to Nikola Tesla, the scientist, the U.S. scientist, because his birthday was July the 10th, 2 days ago. Now, Nikola brought us free energy. He brought us space-time. And he brought us flying saucers, anti-gravity, all because of two magnetic disks turning against each other, wooden disks with magnets on them, placed certain positions, turned against each other. He was able to come across this. Now, there's rumor that someone gave him the drawings, that J.P. Morgan gave him drawings of this disk to put into action. He tried it, and J.P. Morgan, actually, our military took it and actually built a tower. And there's a documentary on Nikola Tesla out there where they built a tower on top of Pikes Peak. And he cranked it up, and he was going to show them he could create a storm, and he did. And some lightning bolts hit a couple of officers, and they're no longer with us. And so they decided to shut it down because these generals were out there, thought it was evil. So Nikola Tesla, J.P. Morgan, the banker who was behind Nikola Tesla, he was evil, but Nikola Tesla was not. That's the thing. They use a lot of people. Now, he's the one that took it to Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler put it in action. He had flying saucers at the end of the war that went to the South Pole. He had, of course, all the gold went to Spain. It was melted down later in the Crurons. But he had a space time. He was into that. But the big thing was cloning. How to clone somebody. In Hope, Arkansas, I exposed it with Rodney Bowers of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, who deserves honor. I don't even know whether he's alive anymore. I've talked to him in years. He was doing all the stories on the MENA, Arkansas, and the Clintons, and the drugs, and the guns with Ollie North, and Daddy Bush, and Leonard Millman, and the whole crowd. Neil Bush, all of them. Silverado. They were having a big party with all that money. But here's the point. They were doing clones down there. 10 million registered with the National Security Agency, like there are 200,000 fallen angels, which they call themselves aliens, are registered with the National Security Agency. And Super Spook, now dead, they killed him, murdered him, stone-arted him to death. Otis Johnson, he was a true 007. He raised the submarine in 1972 with the Glomar Explorer. Raised his submarine that was a Russian sub, and got its nuclear codes out of it that they wanted. He said it busted the submarine in half. And he had to bring out platforms. And here he had submarines all around him of Russian subs that didn't even know what he was doing. And their cover was they were sucking They were sucking minerals off the bottom of the ocean floor. Whoa, there's a video out there. He was in it one time, and I told him, and he says, 6 weeks later, he says, oh, by the way, that video, he took me out of it. History Channel. Now, I've come to know many, many of these people because I've locked up to 1,000 Iran-Contra players, or 1,500 and 500 federal agents, and locked up with 2 super spooks. So I've come to know some people. But over the years, I've come to know about every radio talk show host because I've been on their show, and probably everybody's ever done any speeches in this country and writing the books. And so is Joe. He's kept up with it. Now, Joe, I want to give honor, like I said, to Nikola Tesla for what he did. But there's all these other people out here that you and I both have come to know. And so I want you to pick it up from here, and let's give honor to everybody. We're going to do this in several shows. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. First of all, we're going to make a jump here. Everybody get their pencil. Take a few moments here, because I'm going to give you and you're going to write it down, and you're going to go to YouTube, and you're going to view the YouTube video. The name is Matilda, spelled capital M-A-T-I-L-D-A, Matilda O'Donnell, capital O, apostrophe, capital D-O-N-N-E-L-L, Matilda O'Donnell. The last name is McElroy, capital M-A-C-E-L-R-O-Y. Now we're going to have to make a little jump here to get away and add something that will be enlightening for all the listeners that are going to listen to this show. McElroy was a stenographer in a small western town called Roswell. And Roswell is where we had the Roswell crash in 1947. Now, what made Roswell different? Well, there's 2 things. Number one, the Mexico Military Institute. And number two, it was a SAC base. Strategic Air Command. That airport is still there to this day of where they store their arms. Now, who was McElroy? She was a WAC, but she was also a stenographer. Now, for those of you that don't remember, 1947 is the year that they had a UFO crash found by a local rancher, and from there, the military picked it up. Now, what most people don't realize is that there was a survivor of that crash. And this survivor had a name called ISBE. The way that the communication was done was mental telepathy. And McElroy was chosen to take down the thoughts that were communicated to her by this extraterrestrial. And there are many things that came out of it that influence us all today. And what does that have to do with Nikola Tesla? Well, it so happens that part of the brief was that this is he said, we took over Nikola Tesla, knocked his soul body out, and took over it.
Interesting.
How about that, folks? That is a new one. Now, this is, you can go read it for yourself. It is a brief. This is, she was the stenographer. And part of what she said was, the is being said, is that we took over Tesla's body and passed on this technology to mankind. So there's a very interesting thing to think about.
Yep.
You can read it for yourself and understand.
Now, the folks, there are video, used to be videos out there, that, probably not now, but there used to be of the Roswell crash out there on YouTube.
Now, you also have to understand that there were many other contributing fact experiences that surrounded the Roswell crash. And that is when the interaction became known to our government. This is where we begin to get the expansion into new technology. Of course, there is another side story that goes to this, that one of the persons that went into Nikola Tesla's shop was none other than a young George Herbert Walker Bush, who was snooping around Tesla's technology that he had laid out there. Eventually, to make a long story short here, Tesla was murdered. And he was murdered by Hitler's personal bodyguard. And in accompanying that murder was George Herbert Walker Bush. That technology was taken to Adolf Hitler. Now, Stu has a phone, we'll now go and make it jump, or we're going to jump all over the place to connect the dots here. Introduce them to Ed Slavester.
He was a U.S. scientist who worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada. It's about 40 miles up road north-northwest of what is known as Groom Lake, Area 51 or Area 52. That's the U.S. government, Air Forces, and other agencies' test site for airplanes, stuff like that, missiles. Point is up the road is where the alien base is. And that's where Ed Slade worked. He was one of several U.S. scientists. I think there were six of them what they had working out there. Is when they retired them all, they had replacements for them. And they did it all on the same day, and they all ended up dead within 30 days. Someone killed right there. Ed got shot. It was a laser weapon. Doing a speech out there in Nevada, and Bo Grice was doing one. He was talking about what he did best he could. He used to call it secrets, because he wouldn't talk publicly, but he would talk privately with me. And he would come by my place where I left Las Vegas in 2002, and he, for about 4 or 5 months, every week, a couple times a week, come by me and lunch. He'd get at the Holiday Inn down there for $5, you know, during the week. All you could eat, lunch and breakfast. But anyway, we had long talks. But I also had Otis Johnson, who had been inside what is known as Papoose Lake, Nevada, where another friend flew Daddy Bush, Harry Rupp, the pilot, who was Adolf Hitler's pilot, who defected after 6 months, 17 years of age. He was top Air Force pilot over in Germany, defected the OSS. Anyway, he became a friend of mine. Aurora Bank scandal, Denver, Colorado, they blamed me for. And he was melting down hauling gold, Switzerland for him. But he was Daddy Bush's personal pilot when he was vice president, when he was president of the United States as well. And because he was ex-CIA in his position with the OSS, Daddy Bush. Anyway, Harry flew into Papoose Lake, Nevada, as the mountain opens up and he takes the jet inside. Okay, and those little aliens in Roswell that everybody sees in that video, little gray men, he saw about 24 of them hanging up on the hangers in their suits. And he about crapped his pants because he was told if you go outside these white lines, you'll die, you'll be lasered to death. So he didn't do it. He stayed within. They had a restroom, they had a cafeteria inside Papoose Lake, Nevada. But he saw a whole set of suits, and finally he got nerve to go up and touch one of them and feel it out. He said it felt like skin and everything else, but he said they were suits. They were gold, somebody that's invisible. Now, I'd ask you the question, Joe, are these demons? What are they? They're invisible, but needs a suit like that to become visible to the humans. That's one.
There is a lot of theories out there. Some of the theories seem to have some good substantive evidence behind it to make the telling the truth. But basically, you have the reptilian, the Draco, you have the tall and short gray, you have Dax, you have the Venusians, you have the Aldebarans, you have the Pleiadians, who have a Nordic look about them. And some people say it goes all the way up to 97 species. Now, the best answer I can give to that is what William T. Tompkins, William T. Tompkins, and on other programs I have talked about William T. Tompkins, and he was an insider as a young man, because what had happened is the United States Navy had penetrated Adolf Hitler's Paramunda. That is where General Cromwell did all the secret projects like rocketry. And what happened was, is that the aliens made contact with that staff of General Cromwell. There are two people that substantiated that, and that was Ed Slade and William T. Tompkins. In other words, the aliens, in this case, the little grays and the reptilians, gave anti-gravity machines to the Germans at Paramunda. To make a long story short here, all that top technology and the anti-gravity machines were taken all the way down to the Antarctica to a place called Schwabenland. So, soon step in here and tell them about Admiral Byrd.
He testified, he chased Nazis and he lost 2,000 men. He testified for the U.S. Congress in secret in the Senate because of what happened with Adolf Hitler. He was chasing the flying saucers and a whole fleet of ships that went to the South Pole. Now, the South Pole goes all the way to the North Pole, and it's hollow, and there's a sun in there. And there's an Argo Tunnel, it's called, in behind Denver, Colorado. It's called the Western White House, folks. Western Capitol are built in there, underground, in this huge tunnel. And down in center Colorado, which is the desert growing part of New Mexico up into Colorado, it's one of the best views of the mountains on the north side of this little area called desert. It's a huge area of farmers. But desert Colorado, because I stayed up there and we barbecued because they wanted me to come up and do a speech, but there are only about a dozen people up there. So they got together, but it was a deputy sheriff that took me up there. And this place is beautiful. You see all the mountains you could never see. You were behind Pike's Peak. But they built Anschwartz. That was all upper desert and had sand dunes in there. Up in the northeast corner, northeast corner up behind Pike's Peak. And Anschwartz, who runs his loan business out of the old Navari that Melman owned, and where the human sacrifice goes on, he's got a pyramid built down there. He built a long time ago. But that's an entrance in that area to the Argo Tunnel. Now, they call it the Blue Lights Special. He's skipping lights, blue lights. But what it is I understand it's the Aurora airplane the United States has. And it goes 36,000 miles an hour. It's what I've been corrected on. But I understood it was 39,000 miles an hour, but shape shifts because it's made out of mu metal, element 115, that at one time it didn't even show on the element chart. I don't know whether it does now or yet or not, but we're up to about 130 of them that are on the element chart. And element 118 is Napoleon, top secret. That's what the saucers are made out of, Napoleon. Now, the blue light special flies in there because I sat there and watched it. After doing a speech, and we were all barbecuing and having a good time, I had a couple of brews and slept there, and the next day went back home. But I saw it. About 30 of these darn things going in there. I said, whoa, they were skipping, the lights are skipping. But it happened. And other people reported it all over the place, out in Vegas and different places like this as well. But Here's the technology. If we can fly 36 to 39,000 miles an hour, how fast are those flying saucers going, Joe? You have any idea?
No.
But,
not even the ones I saw?
Yeah.
No, they were not going that fast, but they were going faster than a jet airplane.
Well, I tell you, the technology, let me explain something to you, folks. This comes from Ed Slade, the U.S. scientist. They tried to murder him. Then they finally did get him. Because Ed had a problem. Ed wanted his money. He was Jewish. He became a Christian. But he had a problem. He was buying war bonds, they were called, and other bonds, way back in the 50s and stuff, in the 60s, from the insiders, which were telling him what to do, which was, he was answering David Rockefeller, or Lawrence Rockefeller. Meyer Rothschild was the big one that he answered to, mainly. But he also built Kennedy, I mean not Kennedy, but Johnson. He took a barrel of a gun and figured out a way. Johnson said he wanted to spray anything in the crowd after Kennedy's murder, and he ran around with his hand on the trigger all the time. And Ed made him a sling for it, fitting beside his suits. And he had the gun hanging there, had his hand on it all the time. He said, I'll kill everything around me. They attempt to kill me like they did Kennedy. But Ed made his gun for him. Now, so Ed worked for the government and was paid by the government, but he answered to fallen angel possessed human being, Meyer Rothschild and Rockefeller and others. But he was conned into buying these bonds. Oh, Ed, you know, you made $500,000 this year. You know, we got some bonds, or you need to tuck some of that money away so you'll have something left over, you know, for your retirement. So he did. He bought some bonds of different kind, and some from countries, guaranteed by countries. Well, it turns out to be that he had two bonds worth nearly I think it was $2 billion, something like that. It's huge. He won his friggin' money. Someone I know checked him out. Otis Johnson. He was into that thing. Kind of thing. He checked him out and said, these aren't legit, Stu. And I was in his house at the time. He said, these aren't legit. But he said, these are. And it works $2 billion. Well, Ed decided, I'm going to cash him in. So he talks to Rockefeller, or Rothschild, before his death. He tells him, he says, I've been told I can't talk to you anymore, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, I understand. Get your money. Well, a friend of mine calls me. It's a friend of his, and introduced me to him. He says he did. I said, what happened? He said, 2,000 holes in his brain, laser beam. He found 2,000 burn marks on his brain. That's how they killed him. Over the bonds. I don't want anything to do with them. But they existed. But Ed's story, don't ever tell anybody, Stu, until after my death. I said, okay. Now, there's some shows up on my website that someone else had, because I didn't have the capability of doing the recordings and all the other stuff way back. I did shows with other people. But there's a, Ed had told me, then there are recordings on my site. He just put in Ed Slade. Now, he told me, he said, the one thing he didn't want ever told until after his death, he said, Stu, he says, I took element 115, that's mu metal, that's the Aurora airplane, ship shapes, that's the robots, robotoids, folks, robotoids, real human beings, robots, external skeleton, it breathes, it craps now, it pisses, it does all the stuff, eats, drinks water, it cools its internals. It actually will have sex with you in the whole bit, and you don't even know it. You think it's real. That's what I've been told. Now, they went into Ferguson, Missouri with some of these robots, robotoids, that were black, and they were carrying signs. So, hey, these guys are down here to demonstrate and carry on and tear up the town and burn it down and rob it and loot it, and we're going to do the same. Well, these robots were going around shaking everybody's hands. When they shook your hand, it took your fingerprints. And that's the reason everybody, within 2 weeks after Ferguson was shut down, were all arrested. Otis Johnson told me that. Super spook. He was NSA at his death. Now, Ed told me, he said, Stu, he says, I took element 115, robotoid metal, mu metal. He's actually that I fused it together with 116, 117, whatever those are. And he says 118, and 118 was the polling. I already knew the name there. He fused it together into a brick, like a brick, like a block, a loaf of bread is what it's described to me by it. He put it in a leather bag, and he was told by the aliens he worked with, which were Nordic looking characters, to take this down to New Mexico. And a certain time, certain date, he did. And he was down at the pyramid in New Mexico. And he said it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon or evening. And he said, normally that time of day is pretty busy. Nobody was around. Except for this one guy. He says 7 foot 6 inches tall. He says, standing out there. And I go up to him. I said, you must be so and so. He says, yeah. You read Slate? He says, yes. He says, let me see what you made me. And he hands it to him. He has it back. He says, now take it out there, Ed, and set it down about 50 yards. So he walks about 50 yards out. He turns around and says, far enough? So, oh, yeah, that's good. Set it down. He said, come back and I'll show you what you made me. So he goes back over and he turns around. He says, now look out there, Ed. All of a sudden, turns into a flying saucer. And he said, how'd you do that? He said, I thought it into it. No, I'm going to have you do the same. And he says, watch. He turns it back to loaf bread. He said, now close your eyes, Ed. And he says, start thinking it into a flying saucer. Now think about what I'm telling you, folks. He's sitting there thinking, trying to think it into a flying saucer. And this alien is sitting there reading his mind, because he's telling Ed, oh, no, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. You're thinking the wrong way. Ed, oh, think over here. Oh, no, yeah. Hey, Ed, look what you just made. And all of a sudden, he looks at the flying saucer. So the alien took him out. So he could see the Earth outside of our atmosphere. He brought him back home, dropped him off. He said, you're never to tell anybody still until after I'm dead. Well, he's dead. He was a whistleblower. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Now let's make another jump here. Since we're on the subject of aliens, think of Carl Sagan, think of his last book, which was made into a movie called Contact. I want to know a guy by the name of Dr. Wolf, who was, I guess you would call, a top NSA guy. Multi-talented. I never met him in person. I only met him on the phone. But he was associated with Carl Sagan and Jesse Angleton. What does that mean? Well, these three men were tasked by government to find out the meaning of a obelisk that had been brought in from the outer space in the area surrounding the Earth. They were able to bring it down. Now think of it, folks, right here. How did they bring it down? How did they bring it down? Could it be that we have, at that time, had anti-gravity machines and they sent it up, brought it down? Well, that's what Dr. Wolf said. So Carl Sagan and Jesse Angleton, Dr. Wolf were tasked to examine and find out the origin and as much as they could about this obelisk. And what happened was, is that as Dr. Wolf said, when we got close to it, we could hear this New Age music. But then we began to take a look at Earth in our minds, as if we were in outer space. But we were also mentally tasked with don't touch it, because if you do, you'll get cancer. And all three men touched it, and all three men died of cancer. So there's a little caveat for you. How long has this government been involved with the extraterrestrial? And at this time, Stu, tell them about Dwight D. Eisenhower and what Ed Slade said about Dwight D. Eisenhower leading the reptilians at Edwards Air Force Base.
Well, he had meet with him, and they were gonna. They actually, in front of him, supposedly ate one of his aides. He signed the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement. I had done some shows with his estranged daughter, whatever you want to call her.
But it wasn't.
Yes. I'd done some shows in the past and got to know her a few years ago. But he had signed that agreement under duress, should we say, in 1950. It was called the 52 to 2012 alien agreement. They give us technology, etc., in exchange for, we give them places here on the planet. They do what they want, including snatching a million people a year. They need them for body parts. They need them for different slavery on these other planets that they're on. Anyway, John Lehrer, who was a test pilot at Area 52, Groom Lake, was a Vietnam pilot as well. John became a friend of mine. John made Art Bell famous, the talk show host, before his death. Now it's what's the guy's name that took over his slot there?
I can't remember.
John B. Wells, I think, now has a show. Yeah. He's pretty good. But John made Art Bell famous because he came on and talked about the fact that there was a pyramid on Mars, along with Bob Lazar. And Bob Lazar worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada, also, folks, where Ed Slade worked. Bob's still alive, as far as I know, and out there, and you can look him up, and he's got a lot of good information about this. But John became a good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, like on a Christmas Eve or something, Rodney Stitt shows up in Las Vegas, calls me, says he's at Seth's hotel, so I go over there, pick him up. He wants to see John later, so I called John. Oh, yeah, come on out. So we went out and, you know, had dinner with him, late dinner, Christmas dinner, his place. He had a huge office, nice office. But John's dad built the flying saucers for the United States government, folks. And I had him on one of my shows, and I need to find the show and put it back up. But he admitted it was 150 flying saucers that he built in secret for the United States government from the alien agreement from 1952 to 1959. Is when the program ended. They had 150 of them built at that time. So how many have we built since then? Who knows? That was back in the 50s. And they could go any place in space they wanted to with these things. So that gives you an idea of the technology that's been there already. But that's another whistleblower, John Lehrer. He died about, what, 4 or 5 months ago, I think, Ed?
Or, yeah,
I mean, not Ed, but 4 or 5 months ago, Joe, I think it was. But he told me he had problems at the very last, but part of it was he was bedridden because of a plane crash at the test site. It finally got to him later on. But go ahead, Joe.
All right. So now let's make another jump here. Let's make a jump back to Nikola Tesla. One of the projects, now remember, according to McElroy, he is IS, mentally, telegraphically, told her that they had taken over Tesla's body. And that way we're able to feed this high technology. Now we're going to make a big jump here into the disappearance of a destroyer and the meeting of Stu and Al Bailey, who is also a whistleblower. So tell me the story of Al Bailey and the special program that just disappeared.
Well, Al was part of a program where they put him in space time. Is what it was. As I recall, that was Al, because I met him in person. He'd done some speeches where I was doing some speeches over in, I don't know, Ohio or something. But Al had been put in on the Philadelphia experiment, which was a ship, and what they had done in putting him in space time by putting what they described as Nikola Tesla technology aboard. and they ended up into the future. Now, they made a movie about that. What was it called, Joe?
The Philadelphia Experiment.
Yeah, that's the real one, but they made a movie, you know, you go to the movies and watch it type deal. They made one about some guy being shoved in the future into the past. But where he was, they called it the Philadelphia Experiment. There were YouTube videos, and that's what you'd want to go find. But he went into space-time and came back. And I sat, talked to him, had lunch with him, God, for an hour and a half, 2 hours one time. But the good part was, is that he came back and he was okay. Because a lot of the people that came back to the ship after leaving the ship and going in space-time came back and they found their arms and legs inside the walls of the ship. They had to be amputated because they couldn't get their arms out of there. Legs. This is what happened. They didn't come back right. They came back more in bad shape. A lot of people were hurt by that. But this is how far they've gone back. Now, there's another one. I don't want to give her credit because I don't like her. She's a troll. She's a two-faced troll. She works for the government, still does. And I won't use her name. But I came to know one of them. I won't use her name, but I'll describe this. At Area 51 conference, Area 52 they called it, a little alien restaurant and hotel, more or less. They got trailers up there. They're mainly for the guests. So plan on taking a sleeping bag if you ever go out there to one of the conferences and listen to some of the speakers. There's some good ones that go out there. I spoke out there too. And it was somebody gave me half his time, a couple hours. He's out there all the time. I forget his name. I forget names sometimes when I'm talking about people. But I spoke out there. I slept out there one time in a sleeping bag. No, because I've been out there twice. One time it was in the hotel. It's a trailer divided into one bedroom and one bath on each end. But the people that owned it were good people. I understand she died, but he's still alive. But that's where they have the conferences, these big patriot groups and different ones. And you get some good knowledge. I'm out there, and I meet one of the guys that was involved in the Philadelphia experiment. The Montauk Project, they called it. Montauk Project. Montauk, New York. They sent a bunch of kids into space-time, young adults. And they put the OG meter on. It's called the OG meter. It's top secret. It puts them at the time frame they need to be at. And it's operated off the Tesla technology-type tower again, where two magnetic disks turn in against each other and create space-time. Now, one of the things they found out putting people through space-time back then was that a lot of these people were not coming back. They were exploding when they're going through the barrier. I mean, just boom, big blood mass. This is what this person told me, this female that went through it, that I don't like. She's two-faced. She proved that to me. She's a liar. But she told me that they had alien technology in them. And what it was with her, when her father was in the military intelligence, during the Korean War, or whatever it was, after World War II, her mother, he made her take a shot in a womb of alien bloodline into her as she's being, you know, brought together by her mother. Now, she's born with this alien bloodline, so she was able to transfer through space-time. So, whether that is something that happened, white people got stuck in walls first time around. It wasn't perfected. Now they got it perfected, but you got to have alien bloodline in you. Go clear into the future, come into the past. They can't change anything to speak of, but they can divert something, which makes a change, if that makes any sense. Joe, you want to pick it up?
Okay. Time space, and how did they? It's called the Lost Boys. Just put it into Google, and you'll find articles of this strange tale of these orphan boys who were used as experiments and sending them out into space time. But how did they do it? And what was it that they had? What they had is that they used a seat that they had taken out of a UFO. And that in itself allowed them, as part of the mechanism, to do space-time travel. And because they didn't know exactly what to do, they had to use guinea pigs, and they happened to be these orphan boys who disappeared. They're called the Montauk Boys. A couple of them did make it back, but others did not. And where Stu got this from was from the person that took part in the experiment, and Al Bailey.
Not only Al, but there was someone here who actually is officially dead, folks. He's another one. He didn't want to be a whistleblower just because he was involved in killing everybody. But his wife was working, and so he raised the kids. He's still safe as far as I know. I don't know. But these are the type of people I've come across from time to time, and it's legit. They wanted him dead. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, I think what we're doing is we're overloading the people here with some names. And they can go research these names, put it into YouTube or put it into Google, and see what you find out about these names. And then maybe we'll continue tomorrow with these names. So let's bring the program to an end, Stu, and give people a chance to think about what has been said by you.
Okay, sounds good to me. You want to close this with a prayer?
Well, go ahead, Stu.
In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, by your stripes, by your blood, Father, I ask you to transfer this knowledge into other people to where they understand. They grab a hold of it and they can run with it, of what we're trying to do. Because what the war is, Father, and I know it and Joel knows it, we don't have much time. Everybody's got to be right with you and have the power in you, Father. The power of Jesus Christ, Almighty God, who died for my sins. And I thank you, Father. Amen. Joel?
Hey, that's it, folks.
Have a good one.
All right.
We'll talk.
Bye.